Good morning. Welcome to Aviva's third quarter IMS conference call. I'm Andrew Moss. As you know, with me today are Pat Regan, our CFO, and Egal Meyer, who runs the European region for us. I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking to you on three key areas. First of all, let's talk about operating performance. Then, given the volatile markets we've been trading in, I'll hand over to Pat to talk a little bit about the balance sheet and capital position. And then I'll come back with a brief update on progress against the strategy refresh that we set out last year. So let's go straight to the operating performance. I think it's been good during what, of course, has been a tough time economically, particularly in the Eurozone. If we start with general insurance, really pleased to see that we continue to see that positive momentum that we saw at the half year. So sales up 9% to £7 billion. The combined operating ratio ahead of our target, 96% across the group. If we look at Europe and Canada, sales were up about 7%, but the standout performer remains the UK general insurance business, with a 12% growth in sales, achieving a combined operating ratio of 95%. So the tough action that we took in the UK in 2008, 2009 is paying off, one of the lowest expense ratios in the industry. And moving away from some of that low-margin business then, that's earning through for us now. And I'm really pleased to see, again, this year, 300,000 more motor customers into a market which, of course, has seen a sharp ratings improvement. And our brand recognition levels now at their highest ever here in the UK. So all of that is encouraging. We've also launched quotemehappy.com, a new offering in the aggregator space, and that started well for us. But don't underestimate, we're still seeing better penetration in the direct-to-Aviva offering and through our broker markets. So through all distribution channels, doing well. I think the outlook for general insurance remains relatively positive, and you know, we're pretty confident that we're going to at least meet our 97% combined operating ratio target this year. Now, if I move across to the life business, we've got a new business internal rate of return of 14%. That's up 1% since last year. Sales are down, down about 8% to £23.6 billion. UK sales, though, have increased. They're up 6% to over £8 billion. We're seeing higher pension sales in the run-up to RDR, and we're increasing our market share in the group personal pension space, up to 15% from 11% a year ago. So very pleased with that. Really important before we move into the auto enrollment period. Now, we're also seeing good volume in the individual annuity market. We've pulled back a bit on the bulk purchase annuity market, but we continue to be happy to write in the individual annuity space. That's going well. And overall in the UK, IRRs remain well ahead of our target, at 15%. Now, in Europe, I think we just see the same pattern continuing that we saw in the first half. Sales are down about 18%, and that's really still primarily due to action that we're taking to improve profitability, which is not to say that one or two of our markets have seen reductions in the overall market in 2011, notably France, for example. But we continue to achieve internal rates of return above our target at 13%. Overall, I think the demographics and the wealth characteristics in Europe remain very compelling in the medium and long term. So, you know, profitability in the first half was good in Europe, and we expect that to continue through the second half. We do expect, I think, in one or two places in the short term, demand for life and savings products to be a little more subdued. I think that's only natural given the market volatility that we've seen in the third quarter. In other areas, Asia Pacific, sales up, margins up, really good to see, I think, particularly high growth in Singapore and South Korea. So pleasing across the Asian business now to see IRRs at 14%. And that's really as we go into the cost base that we've had there to invest in the region. So that's pleasing. And meanwhile, again, in the USA, same sort of pattern that we saw at the first half, a reduction in annuity sales, but the life business doing well. But overall, that is action which is taken to increase profits both from new business and the in-force book, and I think a continuation of what we saw in the first half through the third quarter. So in summary, I think from an operational perspective, really good continuing progress, profitable growth in general insurance, strong generation of profits and cash flow in the life business. We are managing persistency well. That has to be a priority in these sorts of markets. And I'm pleased to say customers absolutely are staying with us. Costs are remaining tightly controlled. And, of course, the assets which drive our earnings remain resilient with minimal actual impairments this year. Now, let's just talk about the balance sheet and the capital position. Of course, that is an area of focus for us when markets are as volatile as they've been in the last few months. Pleasing to see the IFRS net asset value per share increasing to £4.48. And overall, you know, we are confident in both the level and the strength of the regulatory capital surplus and the balance sheet. But given the movements in the quarter, I think it's just a good idea for Pat to give a little bit more colour around some of those changes.
Thanks, Andrew, and good morning, everyone. First off, I think it's probably worth saying that obviously we're focused on delivering a number of things, including our short-term financial targets, particularly our operating capital generation target, while continuing to manage the balance sheet. A few overall kind of headline messages. Our IGD regulatory capital surplus, whilst down from the half year, is not far off what it was at the first quarter. As I'll talk to in a moment, it's more resilient at this level. We have a range of actions in place to more than offset the impact of the upcoming call on the hybrid debt. As Andrew said, the underlying impairment performance of the asset portfolio remains very strong, and we continue to experience minimal actual default levels. The level of liquidity at the group centre is very strong, and we're on track to deliver that 1.5 to 1.8 billion operating capital generation. Starting then with the NAV movements, IFRS NAV increased by 23p in the third quarter to £4.48. And again, that was driven by, obviously, profit generation in the quarter, increase in unrealized gains in the US business, an increase in the pension scheme surplus. And there was a couple of things there. One of the things we really benefited there was not just the discount rate moves, but also having a lower level of risk-seeking assets, which is something we've done over a long period of time to de-risk the pension scheme, obviously helped us in the quarter as well. And that was obviously partially offset by credit spread widening in Europe, including in the UK as well. From an MCEV perspective, NAV was £4.79, down from £5.54. Again, probably worth noting that if you measured that today, that would be up about 50p from that £4.79 level. On a regulatory capital surplus basis, IGD was £2.7 billion at 30th of September, compared to just over £3 billion at the first quarter. Obviously, we increased IGD levels quite significantly during the second quarter, up to a £4 billion level, and that served us well in a period of heightened volatility. The movement from the half year is due to a number of things, and probably four things I'd point out. One is movements in unrealized gains in France, primarily due to credit spread widening there. Second is similarly credit spread widening in the UK. Third is we still take our share of Delta Lloyd's movements, so particularly coming through on things like their equity portfolio, and largely some FX movements. Now, IGD, as you know, is not a risk-based measure, and it's quite an idiosyncratic measure, not particularly comparable across countries or indeed companies. And just worth dwelling on that on each of those four. And in France, for example, we've taken through the unrealized gains. We've taken through the reduction of unrealized gains. Not everybody will have done that. And the way the rules work there, there's really much less impact of that going forward than we saw in the third quarter. Similarly, in the UK, we took a quite formulaic approach in the third quarter in terms of spread movements there. And the net result of that was to increase our provisions against the annuity book up to £1.6 billion. Now, given the sheer size of those provisions, obviously we'll look at that as we go through the fourth quarter. Similarly, Delta Lloyd, given the positioning of their hedging program, their futures hedging program, their options, as well as our own futures hedging program, has much limited impact, downside impact going forward. Obviously, also, IGD doesn't take into account things like the £2 billion of unrealized gains we have in the US. Plans are in place to more than compensate for the impact of the repayment of the hybrid debt, which we'll do in November. A number of actions there, including things like a XXX agreement to the closed book transaction in the US. We've already completed a restructuring of UK legal entities, which gives us a couple of £100 million benefits and various other relatively small balance sheet actions. In terms of economic capital surplus, you'll obviously remember we had a £6.9 billion surplus at 30 June, our highest ever surplus. The movement since then is broadly in line with those MCEV movements I gave earlier. Probably if you exclude the impact of the pension scheme, which is about 25p positive to that MCEV NAV. Other than that, the movement in MCEV NAVs gives you pretty much the movement in economic capital surplus. And again, worth remembering, we're up about 50p since the end of the third quarter. Lastly, as I mentioned earlier, the overall performance of the assets portfolio remains strong. Limited impairments against those asset classes, and as I say, that £1.6 billion provision now against the UK annuity book looking quite conservative there. We've expanded our disclosures today, including new bank debt disclosures. And again, just worth noting, we have just £200 million of sub-debt exposure in Italy, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, or Spain in banks, so out of our £113 billion of shareholder assets. And we hold a healthy £2.3 billion of cash at the group centre. With that, I'll hand back to you, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Pat. Just a few words on strategy. I think further delivery in the third quarter, good progress on the restructuring of the portfolio. We completed the sale of the RAC, so we received just under £1 billion in cash just 4 weeks ago. We announced the sale of the Aviva Investors business in Australia. And pleasing to see the sale of Delta Lloyd's loss-making German business, which I have to say we've been pushing on over a number of years. But more than that, I think progress with our objective to deepen in our chosen markets. And I don't think there's a better example of that than in the UK. We're seeing market share gains in all the areas where we've really wanted to over the course of this year. So well over 20% market share in individual annuities, the group personal pensions market. We wrote, I think, something like 564 new schemes so far this year with about 137,000 lives. So market share increasing to 15%. And as I say, that's very important for us as we move into the auto enrollment world. Good returns on new business too in life at 15%. And we think that's sustainable for the foreseeable future. And of course, the great advantage we have relative to our life peers is our very strong general insurance business, and we're seeing profitable growth there, particularly in motor, and a combined operating ratio across the book, which is beginning to look better and better relative to our UK competition. So in summary, I think strong operating performance, good momentum in general insurance, good profitability in life, right on track to meet our financial targets this year, particularly generating between £1.5 and £1.8 billion of net operational capital. Good further delivery against strategy and a focus, which of course we have to have, on ongoing financial strength in what we expect to continue to be, in the short term, a challenging economic and market environment. Okay, with that, thanks for listening. Let's hand over to you now, and very happy to take any questions you may have.